You should be warned, the upcoming episode will be full of unfiltered, off-the-cuff discussion. As such, you should consider this your spoiler warning.
Hello, my name is Kyle.
I'm Ryan.
And when our powers combine, we form
Experience Grind Podcast.
We're not the only podcast hosted by two white dudes that don't know bullshit about bullshit, but we're not the worst.
I know a little bit about bullshit.
Some? Are you a farm boy?
No, okay, I guess I know nothing about bullshit. I take that back, I'm sorry.
I stepped in bullshit once.
Myself, I know plenty about bullshit because I am a farm boy.
Oh, yeah. That's our guest, special guest. I'm going to do it again because I'm just thinking about it. Mr. Brooks, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, I'm doing pretty good. How about yourself?
I think this episode officially lists you as our most frequent return guest. I was thinking about that earlier today.
I think
Nathan
so.
Was on
Before.
Four.
Hey, Brooks is on four, too, right?
This is like Brooks' fifth, though.
There was that aforementioned unreleased one.
Right. Yeah, that's
which
true.
Is still patent pending on release at some point before the end of it. It could end up being the lost episode. We don't know.
We'll give it another year, perhaps.
And we'll
see. Then release it.
We got some time.
Like we found this digging around the archive.
It's not quite relevant enough yet. We got to let it age.
Yeah.
Like wine.
Yeah. Speaking of wine, we're drinking today, of course, the ever illustrious Andre California Champagne. And, you know, I'd like to go ahead. Let's give this one a toast to, I think, most boys our age, first true love, Carrie Fisher. We lost Carrie Fisher today. She officially passed after her heart attack. I know Princess Leia was a big force in my young growing up life. And, I mean, it sucks, man. That's the long and the short of it. Like, I don't want to attribute malice to a year, and I've put off a lot of it. I've thought a lot of it was silly and dumb, but man, this year has fucking sucked a dickhole, dude. It's been rough for anybody who's a fan of any celebrity.
So
I think we will end up talking about Carrie a little more towards the ending of this episode, because this episode today is about Ryan
Rogue One, a Star Wars story.
Or as I mislabeled it many times on both social media accounts, Rouge One, a makeup story, I guess. I spelled it. God, I can't believe it. I did it so many times, and I blame autocorrect
multiple
on my phone.
Multiple times.
Yeah.
Starring RuPaul Skywalker.
Huh?
Rouge One. Starring RuPaul Skywalker.
RuPaul Skywalker. Maybe
That's
it's the
I
Force.
Got.
Maybe he's born with
I thought it was like a sequel to Moulin Rouge.
Oh, God, does anybody want a sequel to Moulin Rouge?
I think those people out there exist.
Two degrees
of separation.
And if you're listening,
just go ahead and unsubscribe.
That has Ewan McGregor. Who was the new Obi-Wan? What do you guys think? Let's speculate just bullshittingly. Would you watch an Ewan McGregor Obi-Wan story?
I would, but that's because I've read a book that was based off of that.
Like Obi-Wan pre-second half of the trilogy, post crap trilogy.
Yep. Yeah, it was actually a pretty good book, and if you haven't read it, I'd highly recommend those of you that are big prolific readers to pick it up.
There's nobody in our audience that reads.
You never know. At the very least, get the audiobook.
Zing. Okay, there we go. Man, I don't know. What about you, Ryan? Would you watch one? We've got so much coming up in Star Wars now.
I would. And some of this will pepper my opinions of Rogue One, but
Rouge One.
I kind of don't want any more prequels, and I kind of just want them to tell new stories and not rely on characters we already know.
Well, we definitely have at least one more prequel coming.
We're definitely getting a Han Solo prequel trilogy, which is in good hands, I think, has some good talent.
But Danny Glover is fucking Lando. Okay.
Donald Glover?
Yeah, what I say? Danny Glover?
Danny Glover. He's too old for this shit. Yes.
He is too old shit, literally. Also, he has a really weird lisp.
Have you seen him? A little bit, yeah. It might be like diabetes or something. So
is that
you
what
got,
it is?
I don't
the beatus?
I just any old person, I'm just like, they've got the beatus. I'm 100%.
All right.
But that's it. Yeah, prequels, I don't know how I feel. So
I'm more interested in the idea of the side stories. I know We shit on him a lot. I'm still interested. Zack Snyder has teased he wants to do a Jedi version of Seventh Samurai, which could be really cool.
If they
but it is Zack Snyder.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
I mean, they could set it in deep in the Old Republic universe a little bit, and it would make a bit more sense, especially way back. It's doable. I just, again, with you, Zack Snyder, I don't know.
Zack Snyder should not be in charge. But I will say, too, we have that movie, minus the Jedi's, because, I mean, Seven Samurai is just Magnificent Seven, and Rogue One is the Magnificent Seven, but in the Star Wars universe.
Could be very well,
just not Jedi's.
Yeah.
So I don't know if it's needed, and definitely not needed if Zack Snyder is involved.
The one good thing, I think, if Zack Snyder is at the helm of a Disney movie, he will not have free reign. And that I think a restrained true. Zack Snyder is a pretty okay Zack Snyder. Free reign Zack Snyder, nobody wants that.
That
so,
is true.
I would be interested still based on that. He would not be given carte blanche, so to speak.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Disney's not one to throw money at him and say, here you go.
Yeah, exactly. They will make sure that investment is not shat upon. Even if it comes to the... And I guess we'll get into this more here in just a bit. But at the risk of making things a little too vanilla to please more, they will definitely make sure they get the return on that investment. So
I love all the foreshadowing going on, Tyler.
Oh, I know, right?
This is great.
So I guess, do we have a bumper?
Music.
Yes.
No, just whatever music.
Exactly.
Put another Smash Mouth song.
I have a great bumper because it's Star Wars and just why the hell not? Let's go with the Cantina music.
Okay.
All right, I'm into that.
There we go.
And it ties into this era of the universe and the trilogy. Sure.
Very much so.
So here we go. Cantina music from episode 4, A New Hope. So that was the Cantina music. I think maybe the fourth most iconic Star Wars piece of music.
Oh, how can you even put them in order?
To be honest, yeah, I'd rate it really kind of up there.
It is up there, dude. You hear it, you're like, oh yeah, that's Cantina music.
Yeah, it's like, oh, that's Star Wars. Mm-hmm. It's easy.
You can associate it to Star Wars, but so many you can. But you got Imperial March. Exactly. You got the title crawl. Mm-hmm. The Tatooine, like the do 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 do. There's so many. The Duel of the Fates from Phantom Menace.
I said like fourth.
I'm gonna tell you, it's not even top five.
It's not even top five. Top five dead or alive.
How about we go with this, being that I'm the middleman here, and let's just have a compromise here and say that there is a lot of iconic music in Star Wars.
Yes.
And it's very hard to classify the number one.
Perfect.
Everyone has their opinion. Let's just leave it at that.
Okay.
Speaking of iconic music, what did you guys think about the music in Rogue One? They did not go with John Williams, which they went with, even with Force Awakens.
You got to have him in Force Awakens.
Was this Michael Giacchino?
Mm-hmm. Who is J.J. Abrams' go-to guy.
Yes, who always does fantastic music, usually.
So it is cool that they switched, because
you'll need to eventually, because...
Eventually, yes, but at the same... Like, you got to have John Williams for Episode 7, I think.
For the... Maybe for, like, the... Legacy
Star Wars story.
Yeah.
For the main story, let's call it that.
Yeah.
But I thought he did an okay job. I think the most memorable music is, of course, when Vader shows up and there's the take on the Imperial March. I mean, nothing else really grabs you like a John Williams score.
Yeah.
It's all...
I think towards the end, when Cassian and Jyn are on the beach, there's that little bit there that you can kind of hear. And granted, all three of us actually, me on the twice I've seen it, didn't have exactly the best seats for anything.
Yeah,
even the second time for you.
Even the second, I was in the same row.
Jesus,
in the same theater.
Oh, that's
I was
sad.
Just shifted two seats over, which means I didn't get a sit in that one seat that we made Kyle sit in.
Well, that's good. At least you didn't say that seat.
Thanks for that, by the way, guys. I've been meaning to tell you that for a long time.
I figured you were cool with crusty white stuff on seats.
Yeah.
You fucking dickholes.
No, that's probably
that's where that stuff came from. Where it came from. God, yeah. Beat me to it.
God damn
just
it.
Just by a few seconds.
I think we firmly decided that I'm a blend between you two.
Yes. Yeah, I think so.
The music, it doesn't stand out. And I think it suffers. I don't know if it was like... There's a great YouTube video I watched about scoring of movies nowadays where, like, a lot of directors give the composers a scene from different movie and they say they like this music. And
temp,
then
temp music is what it's called.
And then the new score ends up sounding like that. And that's why so many things sound the same. Like, you have the big iconic thing for a few years, like the Inception soundtrack, and then... The next two or three years after that, everything has an Inception feel.
I think it's okay. Give that person a shout out. That's Every Frame of Painting.
Thank you. I just couldn't remember
Tony
the name
Zhao.
Of it. Yeah, it's a really great video.
Yeah,
and it'll
any
open
of
your
his
eyes.
It'll are
that
so
one,
smart.
Yeah.
And insightful into movie making. That one specifically is really good.
Yes, it's one of my faves, and it really opens your eyes to how things happen behind the scenes and with budget restraints and just time. Mm-hmm. Like a lot of you know. And you know, when you have a commanding director that's like, no, I want this, I mean, you got to fucking do it because he's the one signing the paycheck that like, oh, yeah, this guy needs this money. So it just I like a unique voice like a John Williams or a Danny Elfman. Like,
and Michael Giacchino
is
usually
really great.
Very original.
But he's more in the subtle ambient style.
So.
It depends. Like, because he scored Lost.
Exactly.
And just his music alone has made me cry.
Yeah. Oh, he's
just
really
his
good.
Music.
So I think probably one of the problems that he may have had is that he had a restriction on himself. He had to make this sound like Star Wars. And I think for the most part, he does hit that.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that, well, he takes stuff from the other movies. That scene I was talking about, I caught blends of Leia's theme in there along with the
that's in top five
the love
not
the love
not the goddamn
the
cantina
love theme, love theme from episode two
yeah
so
across the stars
I caught snippets of both of those in that last scene there, and it's like, okay, he's trying to blend these two universes a little bit more together, because to be honest, it is a bridge movie between the prequels and episode four. Landed a little bit more in the episode four universe, but still.
Well, and that's, I'd like to cut to the chase.
Well,
here.
I want somebody to ask me about the goddamn soundtrack, please.
Okay, please. Ryan,
right.
Tell me.
Hey, Ryan, tell us about the goddamn soundtrack.
Thank you, Brooks. Thank you, Kyle. So I think I agree 100% with everything you two are saying. That is perfectly paralleled with my view on this movie as a whole, is it is very reliant on what has come before in Star Wars, that when it works the best is when you do get those themes of the old Star Wars, and that it is ultimately okay and sometimes forgettable, but like perfectly fine in the moment. But it is this music and this movie, I will say, did not stay with me for very long after the theater.
Certain parts do. And I will.
Yeah,
I can't wait to talk about one of those parts in a little bit.
Also,
but,
should we say that we're going to try to hold the spoilers for a time? So once we get fully into spoilers, we'll let you know.
Again, yes.
But we're going to try to hold back on spoilers for the first little bit.
And it also, like, the thing about this movie is that it's not, you don't remember a lot about it at points, and that's okay, because on the other end, there's a lot of things that you remember about the prequels, and it's not good things that you remember.
Yeah.
It's this movie is fan service to a T. If you like the original Star Wars, you will like this movie. Mm-hmm. It will not change your opinion of them. It's like salt. It will add flavor, but not change it.
Yeah.
It's a nice little garnish, almost, to say. So that was where I will end finally, and then I'll add in all my pepper stuff later.
Perfect.
So.
No, I 100% agree.
Yep.
Red Letter Media have been very, very negative. And
I don't
love
agree.
Red Letter
Media. I don't agree at all.
I think they're being too negative.
Yeah.
I think they have some very salient,
some nice points.
Good points. But like one of their points I do kind of agree with, and you hit upon this very, very quickly right there, was this movie. Let's rewind that. The Force Awakens is a movie for everyone. It is for kids who have never seen
yes.
Star Wars. It is for fans. It is for all generations. Like, I've talked to the elderly who've loved this movie. I've talked to kids who everybody, like, at the time. Now there's some revisionist shit going on, which we're not going to get into.
Or we
Rogue
will later,
One,
but.
And this is the point Red Letter Media made, is made for, like, a very, very small demographic. Like, it is for 32 to 36-year-old men with beards who are really into Star Wars.
Hey.
Which.
Okay. Yeah. All right. And I liked it, so. Yeah.
But, like, this, and I know, Brooks, you took your two kids to see the movie.
Yes.
And they enjoyed it. But, like, as I was watching it and the things that unfolded, I was like, I don't know how a kid would like this movie. Because it's a lot more dour, aside from some comedic moments from, like, one specific character. It's really kind of drier than The Force Awakens. It's a lot more somber. And it, you know, it leads to A New Hope, which... Yeah, essentially a dark place that we need a new hope, right?
See, I think one of the things is, and this might work out to my advantage, is that my kids don't recall seeing the original prequels.
Oh, okay.
Not the original prequels, but the original movies.
Okay.
So now I can successfully lead them on. It's like, here's what happened after Rogue One.
Nice. So they get all these movies for free right now immediately without having to wait.
Now,
they get
granted they kind of jumped the gun and they did see The Force Awakens, but that's so far in the future. Like, okay, we know generally what happens and then what happens in between there. And I'm really, my 11-year-old especially, because he tends to like these kind of movies more than my 9-year-old, I'm curious to see what his reaction is to The Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah.
So, which is by far... one of my favorite Star Wars movie.
I'm going to wager that he's going to like Return better, but as he ages, he'll come to appreciate Empire.
See, I don't know, because I've always liked Empire.
As a kid, I liked Return, but as I've grown, it's Empire. I also want to just take a second to give a call out to Brooks and your fantastic Imperial officers cap.
Yeah, we've
that
not
you're
really
rocking for this
it,
episode.
Yeah.
This is the... pickup I had at Disney World.
Yeah.
Went to...
which is a great benefit to Disney owning Star Wars now.
Absolutely.
So I actually have a buddy who's in Disney. He's on his way there right now with his kids for vacation. I told him, I was like, dude, anything under $30 that you see that's Kylo Ren that you think I'd like, you get it and I will pay you back.
Oh, good luck with that, because there's a whole lot. This hat was like $25.
That's fine, man.
So,
that hat's tight. I would
yeah,
wear
the,
that
hat. You can't put a price on happiness.
You really can't. You really can't. Now, the Hollywood Studios where I got this was really cool, because they still do, and I hope he's there for this, they do the March of the First Order.
That's tight.
And it is so much fun to watch. Just the stormtroopers marching around and everything. It was really cool. We did the... my oldest boy, we did this Star Wars launch bay ride, which had some information about the movies in general and the new movies coming out. And, you know, they had stormtroopers there line up all the kids and everything and
that's
like
tight.
Interrogate them. And it was
that's
really
awesome.
Cool. So for your friend going to Disney World, check that stuff out, because it is fantastic.
All right. Well, I think at this point I feel comfortable enough to put the kibosh on the non-spoiler warning and dive into this movie.
Does everybody want to give like their take on the movie real quick? Just like a quick like one sentence, two sentence synopsis on
so
how
like
they feel
a,
before we go into spoilers. So then,
like a 30-second synopsis of
yeah.
the movie,
just of how you thought. Not a synopsis, just like how you feel. Just generally how you feel.
I was making a callback to some of the other stuff you used to do.
Yeah, well, that one didn't go over so well.
Two lines.
Not your reference. Reference was spot on. It was. 30-second, 1-minute.
We need to bring that back too. That's New Year stuff. We'll talk about it on the upcoming thing that we're going to do later.
Yeah.
Two sentences. Star Wars Rouge One is a fantastic movie for people of my age, and it will flip all of your fan service buttons. And that's it.
I didn't know I had flan service buttons.
Flans, okay.
It's a flip in the fan. It gotcha.
Flans are enemies from Final Fantasy 15, and I have logged 90 plus hours on that game right now. So
and Andre is the enemy of speaking
clearly.
Do not
spoil that for me, because I've still got...
Spoiler,
I've got
spoiler. There's flans and magic in Final Fantasy.
Spoiler, there's not a lot of magic in Final Fantasy 15.
Oh, yeah, so well, I can see that.
Anyways, so far. Brooks, please continue.
Along with Kyle here, Rogue One is a fantastic movie if you are a fan of Star Wars and want to know more about the universe.
Yep.
That it's set in.
Perfect.
Okay. I really liked Rogue One. I would not say it's a fantastic movie for fans, maybe fanboys specifically.
Fair enough.
Or fangirls, whoever's like really, really obsessed with Star
Wars.
Fan
person.
Fan people. Because this is current year, guys. really good. Not quite great. Some amazing moments, but kind of messy.
Did you just assume my species?
Oh, shit, I did, didn't I? What a... Okay, I guess we're above that.
What I like, Ryan, is that you broke this movie down perfectly earlier, and it is a really great contrast. And I think the first thing I said to you after we saw The Force Awakens was, that's how you make a kid's movie for adults.
Yeah.
And that's still true. This movie is not that. I think that this is the only... Number two of the PG-13 Star Wars movies. The other one being Return of the Sith.
Oh, no, because Force Awakens was PG, too. Mm-hmm. Right?
Force Awakens was PG.
Yeah.
So, yeah, like, it, and it's really, I want to touch on that a little bit more, too. It's kind of weird where Star Wars is now compared to, like, even when I was growing up, like, Star Wars was still kind of nerdy. But it's become this monumental force in popular culture. Like,
just like comic book movies.
Yeah, like everybody likes them now. Mm-hmm. And you're the weirdo if you don't like Star Wars at this point, which is great for people like me. Mm-hmm. But it's a weird contrast to growing up, like,
yeah,
wanting to be a 15-year-old kid that spent my allowance on buying a lightsaber at Walmart and not wanting my friends to know because they would make fun of me. To whereas now, like, as a 30-year-old person, I would spend, like, I won't do it, but I know a lot of people that spend, like, $200+ on, like, movie replica lightsabers.
I'm actually considering buying Ultra Saber, which is, like, $460.
Yeah, the only one
it comes with the software
I would ever get.
You are talking to a guy who owns $600 in Disney Infinity, Star Wars, and Marvel figures.
That's fine.
So I still am that person as well.
I would totally drop Buku bucks on a replica Darth Maul saber. Just saying.
Yeah.
I hate the prequels, but I fucking love Darth Maul, and I don't know why.
He's just really cool.
Yeah.
He's really cool. It's like Boba Fett. There was no character given to him.
Yeah. So you make your
own.
But
that design is so cool.
Yeah. I think that's a big part.
It's like Spawn, too. Spawn looks fucking cool. Garbage stories. Yeah. Todd McFarlane can't write for shit. But he looks so cool. That's Boba Fett. That's Darth Maul.
Comic book hero of the last year was written by a guy who writes god-awful comic books.
Which one's that?
Deadpool was written and created by Rob Liefeld. so, like...
Yeah. I would argue he draws like shit, too. I don't know if you said that,
Neither Rob nor Todd McFarlane can draw feet.
He's got like fucking muscles on muscles on muscles. It's just ridiculous.
Let's talk about pouches on pouches on pouches, dog. That's a Rob Liefeld fucking guarantee. It's pouch on pouch. Oh, what's that? You got a bicep? Let's throw a pouch on that motherfucker. Anyway, we're not talking Deadpool. Let's get back to Star Wars.
We can. We could be.
Let's go back.
Yes.
Rogue One. All right, man. So... this movie starts off with fucking Hannibal, or
Mads Mikkelsen,
playing a pretty good role. Yeah. And for the first time, not having shit come out of his eyeballs.
And not a villain. I kind of thought going in he was going to be a bad guy.
And I actually like the turn that they make for him at the end of the movie. It makes a... What I love about it is that it answers that big fucking glaring thing that people bitch about from New Hope for decades. And
who
it's like,
designed this thing?
Yeah. Oh, well a rebel sympathizer.
Yes.
Ta-da! Spoilers! Boom. We're into spoiler territory, motherfuckers.
Yeah.
So the giant fucking defect in the Death Star was put there purposefully by the man they had designed it, who they forced to do it, who was a rebel sympathizer. And he gave it a specific weak point for them to take it out. It wasn't easy to get to. Because he couldn't just make it glaringly obvious, which explains why they have to still do the trench run.
Yeah.
But it gives it purpose now. That's one of my favorite things about this movie, is that it shuts up decades of people like, oh, why is there a giant fucking hole right there?
And it also, like, the Death Star, the guys that are operating the Death Star don't realize it in episode 4. You hear them bring it up to Tarkin later on. It's like, we've analyzed their attacks, sir, and there may be a problem. He's like, and he's so far gone at this point.
It does, however, open up new plot holes as to, you know, if there are plans and the point is to get the rebels the plans, why don't you just send them the plans instead of sending them a message about the plans? He should have just sent Saw Gerrera the plans, and then there you go. Like, you don't need the last hour and a half of this movie.
I would say that it would be easier to send a message than it is to send... I mean, you saw how big that disc was. They were still using tape drives.
I was going to say, shove it up a droid or something. Easy peasy.
I love that in a galaxy far away and a long, long time ago, we still use modular 720 RPM HDD.
Yeah,
fucking drives.
And like, the Empire just stores them all in a giant tower on one planet. That's obviously the safe thing to do.
It was
also. I think the Empire then destroyed all their other plans when they destroyed that one plan.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, they had the major one already done.
Hopefully, they had backups of backups on other planets.
But then, if they have backups of backups, I don't have the backup of that. This movie falls apart once you start thinking it through logically.
Yeah, of course. But it totally does. But you got to have something to make the movie.
You've got
to
suspend belief a little bit. I mean, it's set in outer space a long time ago.
I compared this movie to, like, The Dark Knight Rises. That's the third Nolan one, right?
Yep.
Where it's completely fine. I don't understand why people love it, but it is, like...
Do people love that one? I don't know anybody who loves that one.
There are legions of people who worship Nolan and think he does no wrong. That Interstellar is some kind of masterpiece, and if you don't have kids, you can't understand why it's such a good movie. There are so many Dark Knight Rises people out there. Fucking group I went to, like, loved them. I'm like, are you fucking kidding? Like, that's a piece of shit.
All right, here's the call right now before we get to the end. If you're a Dark Knight Rises fan, please write us and tell us why. And we would absolutely love to have you on this show to talk about it, because I do not fucking get it.
It's that thing where there are just, like, so many plot holes. And it just feels like...
It feels just blah. Ugh.
That's how I feel about Rogue One.
Rogue One I like. Maybe.
Blah.
And again...
There's some things I like about it. But on the whole, like, especially the first hour of this movie, I feel is very blah and very forgettable. I think the movie comes alive in its final act. Once they get to Scarif, I think is the name of the planet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I think that stuff is incredible. And actually, it gets to some moving, touching places that I don't think the film even earns, which we'll get into relationships and characters at one point, I am sure, because I've got so much to fucking say about that. But
I figured you would on this one.
It's just... I don't know. There was no spark. I saw no spark. The one time I saw a spark was... Really, sadly, the Darth Vader scene at the end.
Oh, my
God.
That's
the spark in this movie.
Please, let's talk about that, because that is the best part of this whole fucking movie and the only reason I want to go see it again.
Yeah. Yeah.
I will tell you, it still holds up the second time
It will, like, I want to go see it in 3D. Oh, my God. That scene kicks so much fucking ass.
Yeah.
So this scene we're talking about
I will say that the seat looked dirtier by the time you got
it. It's
brown stuff in there too.
So Darth Vader is going to get the plans. He knows what's going on, and he's chasing them down. And there's this fucking amazing scene where the lights go out as he's breached onto the fucking rebel ship, and you just hear the breathing for like a good minute, and then the fucking lightsaber kicks on, and you see all these rebel soldiers flip their shit, and he fucking tears through there like he's Tetsuo and Akira, man, and just he's lifting dudes up, and he's throwing people, and he's deflecting blasters.
It's like a relay race. They're trying to get the data disc off right before they get killed off. Like, it's
harrowing.
It is. Yeah. The scene in Spider-Man 2 where Doc Ock is born, you're like, oh, I get it. Like, he's a horror director, and this is like something from Army of Darkness, like with the tentacles just like whipping the shit out of the doctors. This Darth Vader scene is like Jason, like a Jason movie. Like,
yeah.
He is just...
The unrelenting force has no unstoppable object.
And it changed my fucking opinion of Darth Vader. Whereas before, yeah! I was like, this guy's fucking cool and kitschy and like whatever. Like, he is like legitimately terrifying. I'm like, I don't know if I like him anymore because he's just
evil. Oh my God. It's the best Vader scene ever.
Yeah.
So as probably, you know, on par, or I dare say surpassing Kyle in terms of Star Wars nerddom.
Oh, for sure.
I will say that this cemented Vader as probably the most terrifying person in Star Wars.
Yeah, he's fucking awesome.
It's like, my gosh, this is stuff that you don't get to see, and this is the reason why his people that he works with is terrified of
him. Yeah. And it also brings, you know, I want to bring up something that you had attempted to call me out on our social media.
Uh-oh.
So I at first chastised people because this happened at the end of this movie when we saw it. At the end of the movie, people clap. Don't fucking clap at the end of the movie if you're not at the fucking premiere with the people that made it. Nobody gives a shit. But I called people out on that, and Brooks thought he was calling me out for... He's like, I saw you clap when Darth Vader came on screen. No. What that is a nervous tic I have. When I get too excited, I clap my hands together once and rub them vigorously in this motion that I cannot control. And I totally admit that happened.
I'll verify.
He's seen me do it multiple times.
It was the bouncy giddiness.
Yeah.
That's what Kyle was doing.
Holy shit.
Doing this,
I knew Vader was going to tear shit up, and then he did. And I was, dude, I think I even laughed like a maniacal fucking idiot.
I can't
idiot.
Confirm you did laugh like a maniacal idiot.
I was like, this is the best thing I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Because it was. That scene is worth the price to this movie.
Yeah. Agreed.
Because it's a nice little just. That fucking cherry that you don't expect it. And I was like, what the it's out of nowhere, and it just pays off.
That's the other thing, is that scene starts off and you think, oh, they're just going into A New Hope. Like, this is that opening scene of New Hope where he cuts through the door and then the rebels start shooting at him and fail. And then it turns out to be something very different and better.
Yeah.
And as you said, like, I think it puts Vader into like the top tier of villains of all time. Like, there might be some other people, but like easily top five villains of all time now.
Yes.
I would recommend, especially after seeing this movie for you two, to, if you have the chance, pick up the Vader comic book.
I'm going to write this down and I
will.
That's
come out like within the past year.
Okay, so this is not the one where Vader fights Darth Maul.
No, this is...
Okay, because I've read that one, and I enjoy it.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Yeah.
No, this is a... Marvel came out with a comic book.
Okay.
Of Darth Vader just after the Death Star explosion.
All right.
So it's really good. I'm not going to spoil it. If you guys pick it up and read it, I highly recommend it because it's really good.
So that Vader scene is great. The previous Vader scene, where he apparently is an enemy in Lord of the Rings, however, where we fly to his fucking castle on the lava planet, a bit over the top. I just want to say, it has been, you know, the Vader castle has been a thing in Star Wars lore for a long time.
That you'd be referring to Bast Castle on Vajun.
Yes. But it just...
Told you. Really
I'm
big
so
nerd.
Glad you're here. That's good. No, because I don't have that knowledge.
What I liked is that it showed him in the
Jedi Academy.
And the
I don't remember.
The rejuvenation tank. How he spends most of his time in that if he's not in the suit.
Yeah.
And that was something else that we got a bit of in Empire, I believe. Or is it Return? Where we walk in
so
and see the helmet going on.
Yeah. So I think it was a combination. There's one. He was in. It was pretty much a Bacta tank. In Rogue One.
Yeah.
And I think the other, and the one on his Star Destroyer was not as elaborate.
No, it's not, because he's not in a tank. He's just in like a sphere.
It's a, it's a hyperbaric chamber.
Yeah,
so it's
almost
like pure oxygen.
Mm-hmm. I've got a question, Brooks. Going back, what was the name of the lava planet he was on?
The lava planet was Mustafar.
Okay, that was Mustafar.
That was Mustafar. It had to have been Mustafar. It's never been listed. They didn't show.
They didn't show the name.
The weird thing is, they list all of the other planets
except for that one.
Except for that one, I don't know why. But I like the idea that it's Mustafar.
I want to think it's Mustafar,
right? Like, this is what made me Darth Vader. Like, I'm going to embrace it fully.
Because the it was technically the place of his birth.
I get that.
Yeah,
that's his home planet.
Makes his greatest failure his biggest strength at that point. And that is the ultimate Sith philosophy.
That makes sense.
I
like that. What did you guys think of the... there's a lot of good things in that scene. Al Pepper, like, the first time he comes out of the tank and then you see the shadow on the wall creep up right beside Ben Mendelsohn's character, Krennic. Love that.
I know exactly what you're going to say. I know.
Don't choke on your aspirations. What do you think about that line?
It's not great. But
even Vader would have to have some bad ones every once in a while.
Yeah.
I mean, he's the Lord of all evil, but at the same time, you can't bat 1,000.
What's the best Vader line?
I don't remember him really quipping much.
Oh, he quips.
Oh, yeah.
I've altered the deal. Pray I do not alter it any further.
That doesn't seem like a quip, though.
Not
a quip, but like a pun. Like, he's... Don't choke on your aspirations is like something you would hear Arnold Schwarzenegger saying, Commando.
Yes, yes, yes.
Right?
I totally agree. I'm not justifying it.
And I wouldn't even say it's maybe bad, but like it happened. I was like, huh, okay.
It doesn't fit.
I'll allow it. You have this one. Don't do this again. You're okay.
And they don't. They don't, thankfully.
And they don't. So that's good. But okay. Brooks, you feel like you have more to say on this.
I feel like that whole scene a little bit. It was the guy in the Vader suit trying to fit in to the role a little bit too much. So I'm going to forego the opening of that scene was probably the best part. And, you know, obviously you had to get a Vader choke in there at some point. And the fact that it was Krennic asking for too much of Vader. And he had to just kind of put him in his place. I'm going to give him that little bit. I was like, okay, you got to put the guy in his place.
Yeah.
But you also want him to, you know, work with you a little bit too. So make him fear you, but not terrified to the point of, you know, not being able to do anything.
So the reason that Krennic fled is because he was usurped in his power position by Grand Moff Tarkin. At this point in the movie, General Tarkin.
Oh, we want to talk about that elephant in the room.
I do. I would like to, because I apparently it was a lot more obvious to everyone but myself. But
Oh my God.
For a little bit, I forgot that that dude was fucking dead. I'm not being dense. So, like, I was
I'll
like...
You go first, Brooks.
Okay.
I'll let you get the positivity
Well, all right. So, because it's going to start off positive, but it's going to lead to negative. Now, for the start off... It was okay. Mm-hmm. Great. In fact, if you ask me, it looked spot on. The guy who did the voice work was really good. If there was one, I don't know if they did like the same thing they did for.
It was a little bit of both.
I think it was a little bit of both of them.
And it was that way for the CGI too. Some of it was fully recreated. Some of it was unused footage. So
that on that first scene we see him. I thought was pretty good. The problem became is that as you see more of him, the longer he's on screen, the more the uncanny valley shows its ugly head.
And this movie feels so beholden to put him in it as much as they possibly can.
They did front use and him center, a lot. Yes.
Like and, but daring you now, to find the flaw.
I will say, not to interrupt Kyle, sorry. It's, you know, Grand Moff Tarkin was one of the guys behind the Death Star creation anyway.
All right. Well, so I can come back to that. Is fucking put him for like a line or two dialogue. You don't need him more than that. And then the way they shot him where he was looking into the window with his reflection, that's all you needed. This movie did not need to make him in it as much as they did. And the technology just isn't there. That it's not going to hold up. It's not going to look good.
In 5 years, I will agree. Like in
5 to 10 years, like it's going to be so fucking jarring in a movie that like really, really is slavishly like beholden to these attention to details, the practical effects. Like let's build fucking these ships and let's build all the sets, and then you have, and this was pointed out to me, and this will forever ruin it for everybody listening. Is the critic from Ratatouille, Anton Ego? That is what Grand Moff Tarkin looks like in this movie. He looks like that critic from Ratatouille. It is a cartoon character. Like, it looks the best of all CG we've had so far, but it's still not good enough that it should only be used very briefly. And that's why I think I give a lot of leeway to the Carrie Fisher at the end. The Princess Leia, you do see her for 2-3 seconds. We're in spoilers now.
Yeah, I know. I just want to throw it out again.
No fucks are given. 2-3 seconds, done. Like, that's all we need. He takes up like 10 to 15 minutes of screen time. It's
fucking
thing. Crazy.
I thought the Carrie Fisher one was way more jarring than Grand Moff Tarkin. And
I thought it was better.
Because for real,
effects.
Again, I was like, it took me a minute to even realize, like, that's not the same guy. Like, I thought it was way better than I guess maybe I should have. And, you know, I had the same seats as you. I had glasses on. There's nothing. Mm-hmm. I was just like, I was into it that was Grand Moff Tarkin back again doing this role. Like,
well, as you said, it took you a few seconds. If you used him really quickly, yeah. Like, it'd be good. It's the fact that they keep on using
him. I think, and that's the biggest problem, is the fact that, and you know, in a movie, you want to go in and just enjoy it and suspend your disbelief. And when things keep happening like that, that pull you out of the movie, that's a detriment to the film. And
I think
that's, that would be my biggest complaint with it. And again, I think it's the reason that the Princess Leia cameo at the end works so much better, because
yeah,
it's there, it's brief, you get it, movie end. Mm-hmm. Ta-da! We're right onto episode 4. So, yeah. I don't have as big a problem with it, though, as you appear to.
I just think it was the wrong choice.
Exactly.
I think it served
its purpose.
Would you prefer the makeup-enhanced Tarkin that they had at episode 3?
Please keep talking.
Yeah, because it wasn't jarring, at least. Like, and in fact, in episode 3, I didn't even know that was supposed to be him. I think you can do this story, and I don't think you really need Grand Moff Tarkin in it, but for like a line or two dialogue. And fuck it, you can even have like some other Imperial officer mention Grand Moff Tarkin. Like, you just don't need his character. That's my argument. That's my whole argument.
You can argue that. I think that the movie did need Tarkin, but I will say probably not for as long as he was on there.
Yeah.
So we can agree there.
Yeah, I will definitely step back and agree with you on that point. Like, I will tone down my whole argument to not as much as he was.
Fair enough.
I'll do that.
Okay. On top of that, as soon as our other cohort gets back,
he just goes and pees and expects us to keep talking. What will we finish that topic? Does he want us to wait to start a new one?
Let's go ahead. I'll hijack this damn episode if I have to, and let's go ahead and let's talk about some other fan service bits.
Yes. Actually, let's put a pin in that, because I know for sure he wants to talk about that.
Okay, he wants to talk about that one for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, so we'll get to some fan service bits. Then what are some of the I'm trying to think of something that Kyle may not be as interested in.
Forrest Whitaker.
Okay. He had kind of a little bit lesser of a role than I thought he would.
Yeah.
And at times I couldn't tell if he was a good guy or a bad guy.
So apparently, I don't know if you knew this. I'm sure you did, Mr. Star Wars fan, but he was in the Star Wars Clone Wars TV show. Like, his character was apparently a big part of that.
I can't remember. It's been a while since I've watched it.
Yeah, I've not seen it all the way through. I personally don't know the character.
But yeah, so I haven't seen that line of the cartoon series in a while. So But yeah, I saw that. I saw that it was, and I was like, where did I hear that name from?
Yeah.
So,
what did you? Yeah, Forrest Whitaker's character. What did you? What did you think of him?
I thought he was a little underused, to be honest. Like, I was
like, that's what I think Brooks was getting to.
Yeah, it's like, what this is? I mean, because everything leading up to this movie, you saw Forrest Whitaker everywhere, and it's just kind of like, eh. Yeah.
Another thing Red Letter Media pointed out, which I noticed with the scene with the TIE fighter, with Jyn Erso walking on the ledge and the TIE fighter comes up, like, that wasn't the fucking movie. Apparently, in the trailers, Saw Gerrera is, like, shaved. His hair's bald at all times. And, like, he gives a bunch of different lines. In the movie, he has, like, this big kind of unkempt afro, like, long old man hair. And a lot of speculation goes to, like, all of his stuff, reshoots. Like, they had to completely rework his character.
Showing my age here, a little bit Don King-esque.
Yeah, a little bit, yeah. Which is, I think, just interesting. But if we're talking about Forrest Whitaker as an actor, Kyle, you might disagree with me because I know you've seen the movie, but I'm about tired of Forrest Whitaker trying to do fucking accents in movies because I thought he was really fucking hard to understand in Arrival and like had a big problem with his accent, like because everybody you could hear clearly and then he was doing the weird little buttons.
Forrest Whitaker is a guy that like you love, and it's I don't get what he's doing a lot of times, like. It almost seems like he's doing too much. And again,
yeah.
My thing with Forrest Whitaker, like, I love him and I love what he tries to do, but he pulls you out of the movie sometimes. And that's not what a good movie should do.
I think everything what you just said is 100% indicative of Saw Gerrera.
Exactly. Yeah. Because he's trying to do weird little ticks, which. All right.
It'd be like if Daniel Day-Lewis popped up in your Star Wars movie. And here, like, fuck, tone it down. You're
no,
in a Star Wars
movie. I disagree.
Movie.
I love Daniel Day-Lewis. I don't, but that's me. But here's my thing. So, like. All right, so he tries these weird little ticks in this. Just a reference, we've brought it up before. In The Dark Knight, Heath Ledger's ticks at the Joker add to that character as Forrest Whitaker's distract you from this character. It's these weird, like, sometimes it's a great idea, sometimes it's not. And in this one, I don't think it is. He's got this weird breathy thing because he's got some breathing problem that's never established. And it's jarring and it takes you out of the movie. And it makes me, you know, I mean, I would like to know what's going on there. Like,
yeah,
it's similar to General Grievous in episode, I think, 2 or maybe 3. Like, what the fuck is wrong with you? Why are you breathing weird? Oh, I had to watch the Clone Wars cartoon outside of this to figure that out?
Yeah.
Oh, well, I'm not doing that. Why don't you put this shit in the movie?
And it's possible this was touched up in the cartoon for sure. But I agree. His character, him and his character are underserved by the movie.
You got Forrest Whitaker. Speaking, fucking use him.
This is like the Dark Knight thing where, like, how did Bruce Wayne get out of the well and get to Gotham within 5 hours without any money or anything? Like, that doesn't fucking make sense. His death in this movie, and spoiler, there are a lot of fucking deaths in this movie, made no fucking sense to me. I guess if we cared more about the character or were given more, like, maybe it could make sense. But essentially, the planet got hit by the Death Star. Big explosion headed his way, and he just says, I'm done running. This is it. And his poignant stand in the door and watch his death come is not only unmoving, uninspiring, means nothing because we don't know this character or any of his story, but then they do the same fucking thing with Jyn and
Cassian
at the end of the movie. Like, don't use that same fucking trick twice. And I think to a much, much, much lesser degree with the Forrest Whitaker character.
So
it makes me angry. It's just a stupid, stupid, dumb plot point for the sake of, like, here's pathos because we think we need this now, but we're not going to earn it. And I think once we get into more characters, I think a lot of the pathos is completely unearned.
I think they paid for Forrest Whitaker. They had to use Forrest Whitaker. Had they had somebody cheaper that didn't have as big an impact, they could have shaved about 30 minutes off this fucking movie.
Or given it to other characters to flesh them out.
Yeah, but no, we had to use Forrest Whitaker.
Which, in my opinion, probably could have happened. I mean, that's been one of the chief complaints I've heard about, is the characters aren't as fleshed out.
Mm-hmm.
Granted, they only had this amount of time frame to do it, because, should I spoil that ending, or...
You can.
All right.
But so I've got an argument for you.
So, I mean, they're going to kill everybody off by the end of it. So, and the next person who says, where are the Bothans? I'm going to throat punch.
Oh, nobody gives a shit about that. Well, I mean, people do give it. And they can fuck off. They can fuck off a cliff. You are not special.
No.
Going back to this. All right. So, you know, an easy way, and this is a good segue. This is called a segue, ladies and gentlemen. An easy way
to get
fucking character time and moments to let your characters grow. Quit with the fucking goddamn cameos and fan service. We do not need to see the fucking guy from the cantina scene from A New Hope. We do not need to see fucking C-3PO and R2-D2 just say, oh my, as an explosion happens. We don't need that shit. Take off all that shit. Take off 10 minutes of Tarkin. Take off all this fan service, and you can focus on the characters.
Yeah.
And even then, I won't even get to characters yet. So I'm still saving that.
So my question is, I'll admit I did chuckle when the guy came on.
From the cantina?
From the cantina.
I liked both those guys. It was nice. It was quick. It was done.
Yeah.
R2, D2, and 3C.
My question in continuity for those two is, how the hell did they get off Jeddah in that short amount of time?
Exactly.
That's it. That's it. They didn't think about that. They were just like, these people would be on this weird planet because it kind of looks like Tatooine.
That is also one of sound engineer Andre's favorite quotes from all of Star Wars is the, hey, he doesn't like you.
I don't like you either.
He taps him, I don't like you either. That one and We Can't Get Out This Way, two of sound engineer Andre's all-time favorite Star Wars quotes.
So weird. I get that first one, not the second one at all.
I don't know why he says it so much. That was a big thing when we were traveling the world together and we would be in unfamiliar places. We'd try to leave. Oh, I can't get out that way. So I digress.
Yes.
Let's bring this back.
Because I know you wanted to talk about the fan service and the cameos.
Yeah, well, and that was one of them. You know, Tarkin, I believe, is a fan service. Mm-hmm. Leia is a fan service. Vader kicking Major ass is a huge fan service. And I think it's the biggest and best one of this movie.
Mm-hmm. It's the most well done one.
I agree.
The death of Red 5 is a nice fan service because it gives us explanation why that... place is open for Luke later
on.
That one's fine. That's quick. It's blink and you
miss it. It's subtle if you're not a huge nerd.
The other ones that they did fairly well was, I think it was Red Leader and Gold Leader, which was archival footage of those two.
I did not know that. That's cool.
Yeah, so I checked it up on the IMDb listed as archival footage used, and they still get credit for it.
Nice. Excellent. That's tight.
But I mean, and that may be explaining why those two were pretty well done.
Yeah.
And if you ask me, I mean, I was like, okay, well, we see where this guy was; it would make sense.
No, I'm with you. I think that works perfectly because it doesn't stop the flow of the movie. You need pilots anyway.
Exactly.
May as well do that. It's not like bringing Jimmy Smits on as Bail Organa and saying, "I know just who I'd give these plans to.
Yeah.
I trust her with my life." And then fucking disappear for an hour and a half because we get it. We know who he's talking about. We know Leia's his adopted daughter. Do other people know? This isn't a standalone movie if you have to rely so heavily on knowing fucking Star Wars.
And it also, I think that is the bad fact in the fact that it ties into the prequels, which I feel at this point should be avoided at all cost.
I was okay with it. I was okay with Jimmy Smith.
And that's my thing.
But how they use him, I was not okay
with. It's like, but why?
Yeah.
Why? Just give it to somebody else and say, oh, I know exactly who to give this to. Mm-hmm. I trust her with my life. We're going to fucking know you're talking about Leia either way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's just that
it doesn't
bad
matter.
Editing. You know what? Yeah. Here, easy fix. I would trust her with my life. Then you cut away to the 3-second Leia shot. Like, it's that editing where it like ties you in without having to say, and you kind of know, and you get it. It's the same issue with Batman versus Superman where it's like, where is Clark? Is he in Metropolis? And then it cuts to Batman. It's like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, you cut to fucking Superman or Clark wherever he's going. Like, that's the logical jump. This movie has a few of those logical jumps that don't quite make sense.
Your mom's name is Martha, too?
I was
Let's be best part. Friends.
I will say on the Bail Organa one, that one does make a little bit of logical sense because he does have to get to Alderaan before it gets blown up.
And they do say that. Yeah, that's fine. It's mostly it's the having to rely on you have to know who this character is
Yeah.
for his inclusion to make sense.
And that's
and
why
for the payoff of Leia to make sense.
This movie, more than Seven, I feel, is a bigger fan service. You're not going to like this movie unless you're a previous fan of the existing universe. Seven, as you stated, you can watch with your kids and then bring them up to speed. Rogue One is you've really got to see where we've been to see how we got there.
Yeah, I agree.
So I totally agree with you there.
Yeah. I think that's a pretty general consensus, at least between the three of us.
On the whole, I would like to just end by saying, holy shit, it's not the prequels.
Oh, we're going to end? We haven't even talked about the main characters yet, guys.
Oh, well, please, let's get into them. I'm just saying, it's not the fucking prequels.
It's not the prequels. And we can probably do like a little quick rank of the Star Wars at the end. It's not going to take any time. But characters. So, really talented actors all around.
Yeah,
has been said before, underserviced by the script, did not have enough time maybe to flesh all of them out.
I think there's is too much going on.
Are some good ones. And let's maybe start with, do you guys have characters that you really liked in this film? Some of the new characters.
All right, it's going to be stupid. That's fine. The droid.
K2SO.
It's the fucking comic relief. Jar Jar Binks character, but he works really well in this movie.
Done perfectly by Alan Tudyk.
And of course.
And also,
who is very adept at voice acting anyways. So.
Yes.
And was also, they kind of explained why he was kind of quirky. It's a fault in his wiping and his programming.
But he works too.
It works.
It's a good character. It's fun. It brings the relief that you want, but doesn't get in the way. But he's also, sadly, one of the more memorable characters of the entire film.
Yeah. Which is a fucking problem.
It's a copy-paste fucking droid.
Yeah.
But yeah, you remember K2SO.
Interesting idea to have like a droid empire kind of reprogrammed to work for the Rebels. He's one of the few characters that has a callback moment where he talks about wanting to use the blaster, and then that comes back into play into his death scene. Like, it's really strange, but like it seems like the most thought went into this K2SO character.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Anybody else that sticks out for you guys?
I liked...
Not for Kyle. Kyle's repeating.
I liked Chirrut.
Chirrut. Yeah, Chirrut. Uh-huh.
So which one was he?
He was the blind...
Blind monk who is...
I liked him a lot and his bodyguard.
Yeah. So those two, those two specifically, I felt like you could have almost made a movie about them too.
Yeah.
Like, they felt like they had so much more of a backstory in there that you probably could have gone... a while, and who knows, maybe Disney will authorize some novels for them later on down the line, which I would probably pick up and read because they have some interesting quirks.
I like the thing, you put them in the Star Wars Rebel series now, because that's the same timeline just about. You put them in there, let them meet up with the new Rebel team in that show, but fucking 100% agree with you.
Yeah, Chirrut's great, and his bodyguard.
They do pay Chirrut off as well. The bodyguard, not so much. He's the stoic, quiet type.
Well, but I like that he gets it at the end after Chirrut dies.
He does.
He
kind of gives up and is like, this is it.
Yeah.
He has what I have dubbed the Boromir death.
Okay, yeah.
Okay, yeah. Boromir, sure. Yeah. So it's like he has as much, personality as Chewbacca, which is not a bad thing. Like, he's the Chewbacca character.
Yeah,
and that's fine.
He even has the ammo pouch slung over the chest.
Yeah,
that's an astute observation I had not made.
And not to mention the badass blaster.
Jeez. Yes, of course, the badass blaster.
But
which I'm so glad in episode 7 they gave that one a little bit more take, because I was like, man, you don't see him fire the bowcaster all that often. But when he does, it makes sense.
It's fantastic.
It's got a kick.
Speaking
of
repeating,
I want to get to the parallels between 7 and Rogue One. What did you think going back to the older Stormtrooper design compared to the new one that we have in episode 7?
Yeah, I thought it was fine.
Yeah.
I had no issues at all.
What about Death Troopers?
Yeah, fine.
I like the Death Troopers.
I think they're
underused like everybody else in this film.
Yeah.
They could have had so much more fucking cool shit to do.
The Death Troopers look cool, and the Scarif Stormtroopers, like the Sand Beach Stormtroopers, also look really cool.
I like the idea that they have Stormtrooper armor for any set of environment that they're in.
Yeah. Well,
I've always enjoyed the
Airspeeder Stormtrooper with the visor to keep them focused on where they're going.
Yeah.
I love that. I've always been partial to the Captain Stormtrooper that has the orange shoulder pad.
Yeah.
Really love that design. Yeah. It's those subtle changes that make things stick out that I love about the Star Wars universe.
I've always liked the Hoth Stormtroopers.
Yeah,
with the Stormtroopers.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. With the full... Who cares if they have a skirt? I'd wear one if I could be in that outfit.
It keeps you warmer, bro.
Yeah, no kidding.
Hey, so, terrible joke. Yeah. You know what the average temperature of a Tauntaun is?
Would that be lukewarm?
Oh, God. I don't know any Star Wars jerk fucking nerd that doesn't know that joke, but I don't know.
I hit that one on my wife the other day, and she just kind of glared at me. She's like, really?
I hit it to the people at work, and none of them had heard it, and I was like, God, I'm a giant fucking dork.
If Luke had a song attributed to his romantic career, it'd be Looking for Love in All the Wrong Places. That's the only other one I have.
Oh, my God.
That's the only other one I could think of. Luke totally, it's garbage. But
totally kisses his sister.
Totally. It's weird. It's just weird.
I don't know. I mean, people are really liking the Game of Thrones, and, you know, the Lannisters are really messed up.
Yeah, but they're sure. The villains.
For guys. Sure.
They're the villains. All right.
Yeah, but...
Are they?
Anyways.
Well, one is a villain, for sure.
Yeah, everybody loves Jaime now. Jaime's...
Well, he's on a redemption arc.
And he's
on a redemption arc. And
he's got the Luke thing going on already.
Yeah, with
a
the
little
fake
bit, yeah.
Cersei, though, man. A little man, bit. Cersei has gone full heel.
All right, guys.
All right, anyways,
guys.
Yes, bring it back, Ryan.
Characters.
This is usually
we're
my
still
job.
Not even done, because there's so many. Jyn Erso and Cassian. It's an A word?
I don't
can't
know.
Think.
Here you go. Here's
Cassian
my,
Andor. Cassian Andor.
My interpretation
like
of them, copy, paste. Don't care. They totally could have been anybody.
Fantastic actors.
Yes.
Underutilized, fully.
Not given anything to do. Their arc, what the fuck?
Who cares? Are they in love? Are they friends?
It's what? Not even like who cares. I think it is actively bad. The only thing I like with them in it is the scene after her father dies, where they have a nice back and forth about politics. But even then, I can't fully enjoy it because he's saying, "I just follow orders." Like, there's nothing wrong with that. After he disobeys an order for no fucking reason because they're buddies now and he doesn't want to kill her dad. This guy who we've seen as a cold-blooded murderer, there's no reason, no character arc for him to make that decision. And then he does. And then at the end, we're supposed to care about them on a beach embracing death together? Why? Like, they may as well be fucking strangers there. They did not see shit together. They have not been these war buddies. But the movie just takes these shortcuts, and I'll continue more, but I feel like they're not characters, and again, easy fucking fix. It's have your characters banter, have them interact. I think you have those two in K2SO, and then the blind guy and his bodyguard, and then the fucking pilot who is completely forgettable. Wasted. Riz Ahmed is wasted in this
You know who
movie.
He reminds me of? And then I think Brooks has something to say. He reminds me of the one friend from Harold and Kumar who is not the guy from American Pie.
It's David Krumholtz.
Yeah!
Yeah.
Tell me that's not him with long hair and a fucking shitty goatee.
A lot thinner.
Yeah.
David Krumholtz got fucked.
But tell me that's not the same fucking guy. That's exactly who that fucking reminds me of.
I think David Krumholtz would have been better.
I would love to have seen him in that role.
Could have brought some comedy or something.
And you could have been like, oh, it's that dude. Let's see what he does. Here's something that I hope I remember it because Andre is hitting me now. Okay, so one thing I really like about this movie is that it shows that the rebels aren't pristine and pure.
It's not black and white. There's gray.
Exactly. And when Cassian is first trying to escape the planet that he gets caught on, and he shoots that dude that had given him the information, that's a fucking dick move,
but
man.
Realizes he might get caught.
But he has to do it. And that's getting your hands dirty. I love that aspect of this movie. It shows the rebels is not a fucking white force, as a pure force. There is getting your shit dirty and making the right decision and making things better.
But that's really about it, though.
Well, I mean, he does kind of round up the other rebels that have done that kind of dirty work.
Yeah.
And it was like, hey, this is our moment for some redemption here.
That's why they help at the end. But, like, I think that's it. And
that's about the only redeeming quality.
And then so this movie starts with like, oh, rebels are in the gray area too. And then they immediately, like I said, like make him flip on that and make him a white knight and make him like do fucking good. And again, without any motivation or reason as to why, it just seems like why.
Because you want that Jyn Erso pussy, dog.
I guess that's fucking special. Like, whatever, I'd fuck the droid. It has more life in it. Sorry, but to be like,
oh god,
it's true. Fucking, it's true.
This movie dips its balls in the morally gray and then fucking takes it out. Like, I don't think, you know what? You want to make a morally gray Star Wars movie? Then make a morally gray Star Wars movie. Don't just fucking tease it out. I think this movie teases it out.
But I think, again, that is where it's also beholden to the fact that it's for children at a point, too. Like, I get why they don't go fully into it.
You got to have just, your good guys and bad guys.
Exactly. I was glad to just have the taste and be like, thank you. Because people rebelling against an oppressive empire are not going to be pristine. Yeah. You've got to do the dirty things to get it happen. And to just get even the glimpse of it, yeah. I was thankful for. So
I will step back and I will say I am glad it was in there. I just wish they pushed it more.
Exactly.
I am glad to see it.
Exactly.
I am glad to see it.
You know, yes. You always want more, and that's... Who's to say that we won't get more in future side stories?
And Han Solo.
Yeah. Han Solo is not a good guy. He is not a fucking good guy.
I hope to God he shoots first.
Oh, of course he's going to shoot first.
That movie's just going to be a line of people, and they're all going to draw. He's just going to shoot first every time. Just shooting first.
I want to see Han and Lando fucking lethal weaponing it across the fucking Solo system.
Oh my god,
system.
You just told me a Han Solo movie. Yeah. It is lethal weapon in space.
Oh my god, tell me it's not. It's fucking a black dude and a white dude. The black dude is fucking off the rails. Or I'm sorry, the white dude is off the rails, who's slightly Australian. The black dude is kind of keeping him together.
Potentially,
that's the weapon.
Potentially, in space. It could be a buddy cop movie with a buddy dog cop movie thing if they got Chewbacca in it.
My God, they better show that. The recruitment.
He's
of
the
Chewbacca.
Joe Pesci character that comes in Lethal Weapon 2. He bought a boat, doesn't know what to do with it. And then you have the Star Wars theme, but done on saxophones.
Yeah.
Wow, we
just
made
bro.
A fucking movie.
All right. Where's our credits?
That one, motherfucker. I love it.
I'm empty.
It's great.
I need to be
it's
empty.
It's great. I hope. You know, that's something that I didn't even think of, but the Han Solo movie goddamn better show the greeting of Han Solo and Chewbacca and why. He has the life debt, it's a fucking waste.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's the thing. Again, you're beholden to the original movies. Like, we're going to see him meet Chewbacca. We're going to see him get that Millennium Falcon. We're going to see him run the Kessel Run. We're going to see all these
parsecs.
Things we already know 12? About.
It's 12.
It's 12 parsecs.
Okay, thank you.
Because Ray thought it was like 14.
Yeah. He's like, no, girl, that's 12. That's 12, girl. I ran that shit. 12? What? Book a Han Solo.
God. Han Solo.
Did you? Solo. I was gonna say you fucking know
the
what
Star
I'm going
Wars
for.
Connect.
Oh
yeah.
My god.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh my god.
I was him to buy the 360 R2-D2.
My
Star
buddy
Wars
has
that,
and
that.
It's really fucking cool because it has R2-D2 effects when you open it. Oh, it makes me jelly.
I might buy it just for because that's so cool. But
what other characters you got? Let's round this up, buddy.
I think those are the only characters in it. Oh, I mean, we didn't talk about Krennic, the bad guy.
Yeah, we haven't talked about Krennic at all.
I'd rather have Tarkin anyways.
Well, that's the thing.
He's much more memorable.
He's a Tarkin wannabe.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
They try to pull off at the beginning of the movie, Kris Kristofferson from Inglourious Basterds.
Mm-hmm.
Is that, did I get that actor right?
Christoph Waltz.
Christoph Waltz, yeah, that's it.
Kris Kristofferson was Blade.
Sorry.
Catch you fuckers at a bad time?
Yeah, yeah, that's right. They try to pull off
I love Blade too.
that intro to Inglourious Bastards, I think, at the beginning of the movie.
Yeah.
Krennic.
Yeah.
He doesn't quite pull it off.
No, of course not. He's not Christoph fucking Waltz.
Yeah, he's not Christoph Waltz.
There is a really good line though in that, which is the dark side murders children and innocence, and he's like, "Well, you've got to start somewhere," and I think that's a fantastic line, and that's probably the best thing he does.
Yeah.
But agreed, they don't quite pull it off. Please continue.
you know, and it just kind of shows throughout the whole movie, and especially when they finally test the Death Star on Jedha, he just rails on Tarkin. It's just like. God, you are such a bitch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the weird thing, though, is you're going to make a villain, and then in the same movie, have Grand Moff Tarkin and Darth Vader outshine his fucking ass.
At every turn.
Do this on purpose?
At every fucking turn.
And one of those actors is dead.
And one of them is dead, and a CG puppet.
Yeah.
And outshines the villain.
Well, I mean, it's not the same guy playing Vader either, but...
But it is the same voice actor.
Man. And that's the weirdest thing. I totally thought James Earl Jones was dead. I don't know why.
I kind of did too.
I thought he'd been dead for like a while.
The diabetes.
He's got the diabetes. All right. In 30 seconds or less, rate every movie. Just list them from worst to favorite. Starting with Ryan.
All right. So the worst is at the bottom?
Yes. Worst is first.
Attack of the Clones.
Okay.
Phantom Menace, Revenge of the Sith, Rogue One, Return of the Jedi, Empire, New Hope.
New Hope is your favorite, and you did not include Episode 7.
Oh, I'm sorry. Then let me start again. See,
please do. Okay, here you go.
All right.
Here you go. Go.
Same again. Attack of the Clones, Phantom Menace, Revenge of the Sith, Rogue One, Return of the Jedi. I'm going to piss off people. Empire Strikes Back, Force Awakens, New Hope.
That's fine. That's totally fine.
Because here's the thing. Empire Strikes Back, probably the better film. I can watch A New Hope at any time. I don't have to be in the mood for that dark and grim kind of tone. And it is. It is a darker tone. It has the better twist. But I like that adventure. I like the fun
of
A New Hope and The Force Awakens.
Force Awakens is fun as hell.
Oh, for sure.
It's a lot of fun to watch. Okay. Yeah. Brooks, please.
So pretty much... Same beginning as Ryan here.
Okay.
So I will go with the, would you start off Attack of the Clones, episode one. Granted, had one of the better lightsaber fights, but, you know, well, I
Which
digress.
One?
The Duel of the Fates.
Okay, yes. Okay.
That's Phantom Menace, yeah.
I think it's primarily influenced by the best song in the Star Wars universe, but I digress!
So, episode three, Revenge of the Sith. I will go... A New Hope, Return of the Jedi, The Force Awakens.
Interesting.
Rogue One.
Holy shit.
Wow.
Empire Strikes Back.
Wow. Oh my God. That blows my mind.
Okay.
My thought process behind that.
A New Hope below all of those?
It does not do that for me as much. It's a good movie.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not knocking that, but it's just
I think
like,
we can all say after the prequels, all of ours are ranked good movies.
Yeah.
I think that's safe to say. That's just
A New Hope, I kind of agree with Brooks in the fact that like my thing with A New Hope is that there's not enough with the lightsabers and the Jedis. Like
I'm going to go further and say that there's not enough in general.
Yeah.
It touches like what's kind of happened, but there's not a lot of action and substance. It's more backstory.
Yeah, it's setting up a lot. So, all right, here's my list.
Okay.
Here we go. I think this is the definitive list. If you disagree, that's fine, but you're wrong. All right, so we're all going to agree? Attack of the Clones.
Yes.
Then I am going to say Revenge of the Sith.
Yeah, you're already wrong.
Phantom Menace. Here's my caveat. Give me Darth Maul, motherfucker.
Yeah.
It's bad, but it's got Darth Maul. All right, so that's going to elevate it. All right, then...
I mean, it's like picking which of the shit hurt less. Like, fair which enough. Diarrhea exactly. burned your butthole less. So
then
I don't
here's where we're
going
to really digress. So, Return of the Jedi.
That's fine.
Then, New Hope.
That hurts.
Then Rogue One.
That really hurts.
Then Empire. Then Force Awakens.
I'm okay with that. I'm okay with how it ended. I just can't believe you guys would put Rogue One above A New Hope. That blows my mind. This is not... I'm going to fucking break. I'm just going to break.
No, I think my thing is that for right now, come back in a year and let's do the list. Rogue One is exciting.
I think that's the thing. I don't think this movie is going to hold up over time.
And that's
really
cool.
think it'll fall apart.
But right now, I really enjoy it. I would rather watch this again than I would get into Rogue One. Or, I'm sorry, A New Hope. But that's just me at this point in time.
Okay.
I'm going to agree with Kyle. And I'm going to say that I think, really, realistically, minus... I think we all kind of ranked Return of the Jedi a little bit lower.
Yeah.
As that's Ewoks, probably man. Probably one of the weaker ones, but I think I may have ranked New Hope lower than that. But,
I think you did.
But we could agree that this list is probably going to be a little bit flexible.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be outside of the first three. Yeah. I think I was the only one that had a different opinion.
I think
completely, totally biased.
Rogue One is always going to be above prequels.
I think you and I saw episode one, and I think you were on your third or fourth time watching it.
Probably. But I also, admittedly, I was a big Star Wars fan, and that was the first new Star Wars in a long fucking time. Mm-hmm. It took, and I was also young and dumb, so it takes a while for things.
Can verify, yes.
For things to come into effect,
that all checks out.
Oh, this isn't great. I've seen way too much of Jar Jar Binks.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah.
No. I think.
Final word. Final word. Rogue One. See it or no see it, Ryan. Give your caveats if you need to.
Well, now that it's been, this is the second week and it's open. If you've not seen it already, don't
see it. I don't know
who
you are.
Because if you're not that fan, it's not going to be for you.
No. Absolutely not.
Yeah.
I think it's a good movie. It's not great.
It's a good movie for the Star Wars fanboy.
With your expectations
checked. You said it perfectly an hour ago, and that has not changed. It is a perfect movie for the Star Wars fanboy. For the casual Star Wars fan, watch episode 7.
I think even for the casual Star Wars fan, it'll be fine. Not great, or... I think it'll be fine.
I think it's something that any Star Wars fan should experience at least once. Granted, I'm the guy sitting here with the Imperial Navy hat on.
So. That's true.
Well, all right, man. That's all I've got to say outside of, let's bring it all back. And I really liked the post that you made earlier, Ryan. And I think I'm back on board with you in the fact that I'm ready to tell 2016 to go fuck itself.
Yeah.
You have taken Princess Leia from me and now it's personal. I was a little hurt at Bowie. Now you've That's twisted the knife with
It was
with
Bowie,
Leia.
Then Rickman, and then Princess Leia. And I those memes were going around with 2016's the worst.
Yeah, exactly.
And I was not on board.
I was not either.
And then Carrie Fisher happened.
I will say I did not expect a good return. Once I realized what had really happened,
I was remaining hopeful.
She was unconscious on a plane for 15 minutes before she even got to the hospital. I knew it was not going to be good, even if she did recover. I honestly think her passing is better for her personally because she's not going to suffer. Also, as a big fan of recreational drug use will fucking wreck you, kids. So Carrie Fisher is the testament to that. She did a lot of cocaine and a lot of other bad hardcore drugs, and it takes its effect on you. Her mother outlived her at 90. Debbie Reynolds is still alive. Carrie Fisher died at 60 years old due to a very, very complicated hard life of hard drug use. So
I'm curious as to how Mick Jagger is still walking and talking.
He's
made it.
It's not even
me. And Keith Richards both.
Keith Richards and Ozzy Osbourne. They say I actually did some research on this. They say Ozzy Osbourne has a lot of Neanderthal blood in him, which gives him the resiliency that he has. I'm not making this up.
Oh my god.
He has some sincere Neanderthal lineage in him, which gives him the resiliency he has to the massive amounts of drug use he experienced in his life.
Fucking crazy.
I know it's crazy, but that's the excuse that they're giving based on scientific research.
So basically, the reason Ozzy Osbourne is still alive is that because he hasn't evolved enough.
Basically, yes. He's still very caveman-esque, and it makes him very resilient to modern man. So
that makes sense.
But, I'd just like to end this episode by, let's all three just tell 2016 to go fuck itself. So, Ryan?
Go fuck yourself, 2016.
Brooks?
I wish that 2016 would go the way... I wish it went before Carrie Fisher.
Yeah. 2016, I'm not one to give you credence or relevancy, but you have instilled that, so...
You don't get the honor of current year.
You do not. You get 2016. In 2016, you can literally go... fuck yourself. Brooks, thank you for sticking around, for always coming on. I know we've got at least a few episodes planned for you already in the new year.
Yeah.
We love having you on as a guest, man. You're a blast to talk to. Thank you, as always, for dealing with us. And, you know, we'll get you on for this new game episode that Ryan has for the whole of 2017, too.
So we'll have you back.
To that?
I think he'll have a big part in it. I totally foresee that. So, Brooks, thanks as well. And also, go fuck yourself.
Thank you. Go fuck yourself as well.
There we go. Wow. All right. Everybody else out there, fuck 2016. It's a new year. It's current year, hopefully, maybe by the time you listen to this. So we bid you adieu and grind out.
Hi, this is Ryan, and if you liked what you just saw or listened to, please check us out at experiencegrind.com. Find us on facebook.com/experiencegrind, at Twitter, over at twitter.com/expgrindpodcast, where Kyle's tweeting out a lot of stuff all the time. And then you can always find us, our podcast, on iTunes, Stitcher, Twitch, or even on YouTube. Find us, just search Experience Grind Podcast. We don't have a channel yet. Stuff super easy to find. But please subscribe. We'll get there to you, make it even easier. And as always, if you like what you saw, we cover mini games and episodes every week. There's sure to be something you love. And as always, grind out.